This is Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. Today on J Seculo Live, Miriam Ebrahim, again in the presence of a United States officials, our call, do not let her out of your sight again.
Live from Washington, D.C., J Seculo Live.
Hold on. The State Department, I hope, is doing everything they can, working with the Sudanese government to secure that this family is able to come back to the United States.
And Miriam is married to an American citizen, Daniel, from New Hampshire. Her children are American citizens. And her only crime is being a Christian.
Just know you're not alone.
She was told, renounce Jesus and you will be spared of this sin.
Settle down, it'll all be clear.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now.
Don't pay no mind to the demons, they fill you with fear.
Call 1-800-684-3110.
As she was taken to the U.S. Embassy, the 27-year-old gave this world-exclusive interview to the BBC. I would like to thank the Sudanese people and the Sudanese police. I am really grateful to all of them. I would like to thank all those who stood beside me.
Do you consider yourself a Christian?
Not only was it me, it was also the court that released me.
What is your plan now?
I will leave it to God. I didn't even have the chance to see my family after I got out of prison.
After widespread opposition, the Sudanese Supreme Court in Khartoum let Miriam go free. But on Tuesday, she was detained at the airport, refused permission to travel on papers issued by South Sudan. She's gone to the embassy of the United States, which is ready to welcome her, but she isn't yet allowed to leave.
Free Miriam now. This shouldn't be a partisan issue.
Don't pay no mind to the demons, they fill you with fear.
This should bring all of us together. We should stand up for this young mom, for her babies that are in a Sudanese prison just for being a Christian.
And now your host, Than Bennett.
Hey everyone, welcome into J Seculo Live. Than Bennett in Washington, D.C., joined by David French from our media studio in Franklin, Tennessee. Phone lines are open for you folks. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Jay and Jordan are en route to Oxford today. We're going to give you more information about what they are working on later in the broadcast, but folks, you heard it in the open there. The wild week for Miriam Ebrahim and her family continues today. Remember, just to sort of recap, this is the Sudanese woman who is married to an American citizen. They have two American children. She was imprisoned and sentenced to die on account of her Christian faith. Now, she was initially released from prison on Monday. However, she was rearrested at the airport on Tuesday in front of U.S. personnel as she was trying to leave the country, and she has been held ever since. Now, what we hope is good news, it appears that bail has now been posted for Miriam. It appears that she is now at the U.S. Embassy. However, she cannot leave the country because in Sudan, if she were to leave the country, the person who posted that bail for her would be legally liable to answer for the charges that might be levied against her. So the bottom line is, folks, she is not yet free, and our call for the United States is to not let Miriam and her family be taken out of their sight again. It is a good thing that the United States is involved. But now it rests on them. They cannot lose sight of her again. That much is on them. And folks, you heard the sound directly from Miriam through a translator in that open. We're going to play it again for you after the break, but powerful, powerful stuff. And I would just make this appeal to you. The call now is to the United States government. You have her again, a second time. Do not lose her again. If you want to stand with us in that call, call now 877-989-2255. You can also sign online at aclj.org. We will be taking your calls after the break. But now, I need you to stand with Miriam. Call on the government to not lose her again. 877-989-2255.
What appeared to be a tremendous victory for religious freedom has taken an unexpected turn for the worse. Miriam Ibrahim, imprisoned with her two young children because of her Christian faith, had been released by the Sudanese government, spared torture and the death penalty. But one day later, while she and her family were at the airport, her attorney says she was rearrested and her family taken into custody by Sudanese officials. Miriam and her family's fate are now unclear. At the ACLJ, we've launched a global campaign on Miriam's behalf. Now we must focus on pressuring Sudan to release her and the family and permit them to return to the United States. Time is of the essence. We must apply immediate international pressure to free Miriam and her family. And we must urge the Obama administration to grant Miriam and her American kids safe passage and immediate legal status in the United States. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top two in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the broadcast. Stan Bennett in Washington, D.C., David French in Franklin, Tennessee. We're going to bring David into the conversation here very quickly, but our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. And before I go to David, I just want to quickly play back-to-back-to-back these three sound bites we have directly from Miriam Ibrahim as she was, I guess we will call it released from the police detention center, although I want to make it very clear, she is not actually free. The reports are that she is at the U.S. Embassy, but she is not permitted to leave the country yet as these charges have been levied against her, and the person that posted bail would be liable for those charges if they leave. So our call to the United States government is very simple. Do not let her out of your sight again, but I want you to hear these powerful words, these interviews, very short, but three sound bites back to back to back from Miriam Ibrahim through a translator. Let's play them.
As she was taken to the U.S. Embassy, the 27-year-old gave this world-exclusive interview to the BBC. I would like to thank the Sudanese people and the Sudanese police. I am really grateful to all of them. I would like to thank all those who stood beside me.
Do you consider yourself a Christian?
Not only was it me, it was also the court that released me.
What is your plan now?
I will leave it to God. I didn't even have the chance to see my family after I got out of prison.
David, powerful stuff. First of all, you know, the profession of faith in the face of great adversity. But also, I just think people need to understand that this situation is far from over. There's still a great amount of danger here. And our role as the American people could not be more clear now. It is to clearly communicate what we expect out of our government now that we have another shot.
You know, I feel like the Obama State Department has been given a second bite at the apple, so to speak. Initially, it seems pretty clear that what happened is that she was literally snatched out of the hands of an American diplomat at the airport, which is just a stunning development and a serious rebuke to the United States from a country like Sudan, of all places. But now she's back reportedly in U.S. custody at the U.S. Embassy on U.S. diplomatic soil. And so we have another chance to do this right. I think one of the key things to say is, she may be for now safe, the way our State Department's describing it, but she's not free. She won't be free until she leaves that repressive jihadist country. And so that's what we have to press for. Our petition talks about safe, immediate action to bring her home to the United States with her American children, and not just their young children, a baby, a toddler, and her American husband, bring them homes. And that, and so the State Department has another opportunity to get that done. We'll see if they can.
Yeah, no question about it. And they need to do it, obviously, in a way that does not leave someone else behind to answer for these charges. That would, of course, not be acceptable. But I think you're exactly right, David. I think it's fair to say that she is probably safe at the moment, but it is temporary. And until she is in the United States, she will not be free. I think that much is very clear. Just quickly, before we go to the phones, again, phone lines open for you at 1-800-684-3110. But people need to pay attention to what David just said. This really was, earlier this week, a serious diplomatic affront to the United States of America. I'm actually still somewhat offended that the President of the United States did not respond when Miriam was taken from the presence of a U.S. official. I think it is the latest dramatic example of what happens when you engage in a policy of appeasement and weakness. That did not happen. But the core, what we've got to focus on right now, Miriam Ebrahim, again at the U.S. Embassy, she needs to stay there until she can be brought to the United States. That is our call from our government. If you want to stand with us, the number to call is 877-989-2255, and it's always up online as well at ACLJ.org. Let's go back to the phones. We've got a lot of calls coming in on a wide variety of issues. We actually have some coming in on the recent Supreme Court cases, the IRS scandal, and others. So we're willing to take your calls on any topic. Let's go ahead and start with Judith calling from Missouri on line one. Judith, you're on the air.
Yes. Why isn't Obama being impeached? He's done far worse than Nixon ever did. We have Benghazi. We have him releasing these prisoners without Congress's consent. IRS, we can go on and on. Why aren't we have procedures to impeach Obama?
It's a good question, Judith, and I'm going to bring David into this conversation. You heard from Senator Cruz just over the last 24 hours that he does think, specifically on the IRS scandal, that there needs to be a special prosecutor. And if there isn't a special prosecutor, he believes that impeachment proceedings should proceed. So I think those have happened. But, David, I want you to answer the question about impeachment, but I also maybe use this as a platform to talk about the fact that we did receive a very significant victory in this overreach issue in the Noel Canning case from the Supreme Court yesterday. It was the most significant pushback on the president's abuse of power that we've seen to this point.
Well, you know, one thing I want to say about impeachment, there is a very, very lively debate right now amongst a lot of people that I respect over whether impeachment is a viable option from a legal standpoint. In other words, has the president or has the attorney general committed acts that are grounds for impeachment? And there are good, very good arguments being made, you know, including by our friend Andrew McCarthy, that he has. However, there's a political reality here that we have to deal with. And the political reality is it's really twofold. Number one, no way articles of impeachment, if it gets through the House, that they would survive in the Harry Reid-led Senate. I mean, there's just no way. So at some point, it's kind of an academic discussion. And the second thing is, I will tell you this, the Democrats right now are begging for articles of impeachment to be introduced because they want that as a distraction to rally their base in the lead up to the midterms. They want that kind of distraction to be based on the persecution of their alleged persecution of their president, rather than where the focus is right now, which is on all of the flood of scandals that Judith very ably articulated there. I mean, you could just go on and on and on. And one last point, and this is going to transition us to the Supreme Court yesterday. There are other ways of bringing the Obama administration into compliance with the law than impeachment. And we just saw two cases like that yesterday at the Supreme Court where the court unanimously voted against the Obama administration. One, shutting off the Obama administration's attempt to define when Congress is in recess to appoint radicals to the NLRB, and the other one being directly defying the Obama administration's position and the Commonwealth of Massachusetts' position that pro-life speakers have fewer free speech rights than the rest of America. So those are two big wins that came unanimously through the Supreme Court, and I think were big defeats for the Obama administration.
Yeah, no question about it. David is spot on. You have to deal with political realities. And we said this on the broadcast yesterday, David, but there are good ways to push back against the president's power. And I would just say, when you get frustrated about it, the best way to do it is to make a convincing constitutional argument and then win 9-0 at the Supreme Court, which is what happened twice yesterday. And we'll get to more analysis on both of these cases later in the broadcast. In fact, in the second 30 minutes of the broadcast, we're going to have a comprehensive interview that Jay did yesterday with Michael Savage talking about all of these cases. So you're going to get good in-depth analysis there. But I think David is exactly right. There are more ways than just impeachment to push back. And the first responsibility, folks, it really exists at the legislative branch level. And that is you all. That is you all calling on your elected officials. We will help you here at the ACLJ, demanding that they stand up for their rights under the Constitution. I think we saw a good example of that this week. Quickly, folks, I want to get one more call in before the break. Back on the issue of Miriam Ibrahim, let's go to Jared on line 3 calling from Nevada. Jared, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi.
On the air.
I was wondering if the woman that's in Sudan was released with her children and her husband.
That's a very good question. Again, she is married to an American citizen, Daniel Wani. They have two children, Martin, who is 2, and Maya, who is nearly 2, and Maya, who is newborn. She was actually born in the prison. And all reports are that the Ibrahim family is now at the U.S. Embassy. The United States release on this said that they were in a safe location. However, the family's attorneys have said that they are at the United States Embassy. So, David, I'll go to you on this again. I think you described this perfectly. I would describe the situation that they are in right now as safe, but certainly not free, because they are not permitted to leave the country.
That's right. I mean, right now on U.S. diplomatic soil, I think they're about as safe as they can possibly be in the country of Sudan. But that is a big qualifier, in the country of Sudan. They're not going to be free. They're not going to be truly safe until they're able to leave. And this gets us back to where we started in this segment. Look, this gives the State Department a second chance to get this right. They bungled the first chance. And look, and I blame Sudan for it first and foremost, but the U.S. had to give in here, and we gave in. Let's not give in again. And that's where you come in. Go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. And we got a petition up. It's very simple. It's very clear. We're calling on the U.S. government to do everything it can to bring Miriam and her American family home to free soil, to the land of liberty, where they can worship God in peace and without fear of death. That's a very simple petition. It's a very simple ask. And the State Department has a chance to get this right. Help us. ACLJ.org.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. What appeared to be a tremendous victory for religious freedom has taken an unexpected turn for the worse. Miriam Ibrahim, imprisoned with her two young children because of her Christian faith, had been released by the Sudanese government, spared torture and the death penalty. But one day later, while she and her family were at the airport, her attorney says she was rearrested and her family taken into custody by Sudanese officials. Miriam and her family's fate are now unclear. At the ACLJ, we've launched a global campaign on Miriam's behalf. Now we must focus on pressuring Sudan to release her and the family and permit them to return to the United States. Time is of the essence. We must apply immediate international pressure to free Miriam and her family. And we must urge the Obama administration to grant Miriam and her American kids safe passage and immediate legal status in the United States. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls in this segment of the broadcast. Again, if you want to be on air, the number is 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And before I get right to the calls, I just want to make this comment to key off something that David said in the last segment of the broadcast. The State Department, our embassy in Sudan, our government in general, we really do have a second chance when it comes to this case involving Miriam Ibrahim. We accompanied her to the airport on Tuesday, and she was allowed to be taken, or at least she was taken, in the presence of a U.S. official on Tuesday. We again have her in the custody or in the presence of a U.S. official at the U.S. Embassy. We need to not blow this chance again. And by the way, folks, if and when, God willing, this documentation question gets resolved and she is allowed to leave the country, I would just suggest this to the United States of America. Put her on our plane. Let's put her on our plane this time. Let's not go through this this scenario at the airport again. Let's have one of our aircraft ready to make that transport so that this doesn't happen again. I put that on our government, and I think that that is a piece of this that we can control and that we better not mess up on again. Again, folks, if you want to be a part of the broadcast, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go back to the phones. Abe has been holding for a long time on line two. He's calling from Illinois. Abe, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, Sam. Correct me if I'm wrong. The IRS scandal is more than a scandal. I believe that it is a conspiracy, and I have no respect for any of those involved in the IRS conspiracy.
I really cannot disagree with that. I want to bring David into the conversation here, but I got to tell you, I sat through a lot of testimony in the House of Representatives last week from both the IRS commissioner as well as Jennifer O'Connor, who's in the White House counsel's office now. And I've got to tell you, David, I have seen enough. I believe that evidence was destroyed. I believe that it was intentionally destroyed. And frankly, I believe it because it's the only logical explanation left. It's the one that takes the least amount of imagination. I don't know that it can be proven that it was intentionally destroyed at this point, but I certainly think that that is where all the signs are pointing.
Oh, Dan, you're so cynical. I mean, cynical. Everybody knows that hard drives crash, server backup tapes are wiped out, and contracts with outside backup companies are all canceled simultaneously all the time. This just happens all the time. Now, I mean, look, when we're talking about the IRS scandal, it's become so big, I don't even know what that means anymore. Which one? The targeting of tea parties in the tax exemption process where they are delayed for years and ask unconstitutional questions? Or is it the attempt to use the Department of Justice to gin up prosecutions, piece together prosecutions out of nothing to send people to jail for their political beliefs? Is it that one? Or is it the loss of all emails? Or is it the disclosure of personal information to outside sympathetic groups? Is it the targeting of a sitting U.S. senator? Is it that one? Is that the IRS scan? I mean, at this point, we're beginning to look at the IRS as an entity engaging in a vast conspiracy to deny civil rights to those citizens that disagree with the Obama administration. And that's it.
Yeah, how about this one, David? We now have the list of the seven IRS employees who, you know, almost simultaneously had these random computer crashes in which they could not reconstitute emails or files from their computer. Every one of them is tied to the targeting scandal at the IRS. It's Lois Lerner. It's Nicole Flax, who actually made 31 visits to the White House. She was the chief of staff to the commissioner at the time, Stephen Miller. The other five are names that you might not know. It's Michelle Eldridge, Kimberly Kitchens, Nancy Hegney, Julie Chen, and Tyler Chubney. Their one common theme, David, they are all tied to the IRS scandal, some of them in Washington, D.C., some of them in Cincinnati, Ohio, the field office that was blamed on this scandal in the first place. But the coincidences are just too many. They do not add up. They are not accidents. And I really believe that there was an intentional cover-up that really dwarfs what happened in the Nixon administration in the Watergate scandal.
We're so far beyond that. I mean, you know, look, we've got a situation here. Let's just remind people. And again, you don't even know where to start on this. But let's just start with this. The Department of Justice contacted the IRS in response to a call from a Democratic senator, Sheldon Whitehouse, offering to help to, quote unquote, piece together, that means make up, prosecutions against conservative groups. I mean, think about that. Think about that. So then, of course, who is now tasked with investigating the IRS? The same Department of Justice that offered to piece together prosecutions against conservatives. And that's like just one tiny slice of this scandal. One small slice. I mean, it's like pick your favorite part. You know, when we talk about computer crashes now, I'm starting to think that was the crash was the sound of a hammer hitting a hard drive. That was not the sound of a normal, natural fault in the process.
I really just do think the administration's only chance on this is to keep this evidence under wraps, because if it comes out, it is not going to be pleasant for them. Let's go back to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Ryan calling on line 6 from Idaho. Ryan, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my call. My comment is just on Maryam Ibrahim. I think the United States needs to use every resource available, including military, to protect her. I think with everything they have, they need to not let her out of their sight.
I'm with you. I'm only going to make a brief comment on this because I already did. We had one shot at this. We blew it. Let's not blow it again. We're going to use our own resources when we have another chance to get her out. That's our call on the United States government. You can add your name to our voice on that, Ryan. You can do it by calling 877-989-2255 or by going to ACLJ.org. Let's go to line 5. Thelma's calling from New York. Thelma, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm good. You're on the air.
Really? I'm calling in regards to the lady with the baby, my church, Canas Reformed Church. We are praying for her, and we are praying to God for her release because, you know, we felt the situation, and we know how awful this has been for her and the children and her entire family. And as a Christian community, we are strongly in support of those who are supporting for her release. And we pray that God will work out everything to protect her and to get her out of that situation. Such a real, cruel act meted out to her.
Thank you, Thelma, for your prayers. I got to tell you, David, the engagement of the American people, people all around the world, but especially the American people, to bring the visibility of this case is really a key reason, I believe, that Maryam is alive today, that she is with her family, and at least for the time being, she is safe.
Totally agree with that. I mean, this is a story that the American people really catapulted to front and center. I mean, and I also have to give credit to the British media. I mean, the British media was on this far more than our own mainstream media. And the British Prime Minister was supporting her far more for a while than our own government, which is just stunning considering the fact that she's married to an American and has American children. But yes, the American people, think about our first petition on this. It hit more than 300,000 almost immediately. We're well over 100,000 on our current petition, but we also need your help to get even more signatures to keep the momentum going, to keep the pressure on the State Department. So ACLJ.org, add your name to that petition. And also, stay with us. We've got 30 more minutes. This is an outstanding discussion of the Supreme Court victories yesterday, key Supreme Court victories over the Obama administration, where the ACLJ filed key briefs, including one on behalf of the Speaker of the House of the United States House of Representatives. Stay with us and go to ACLJ.org.
At the ACLJ, we've launched a global campaign on Maryam's behalf. Now we must focus on pressuring Sudan to release her and the family and permit them to return to the United States. We must apply immediate international pressure to free Maryam and her family. And we must urge the Obama administration to grant Maryam and her American kids safe passage and immediate legal status in the United States. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live, taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. We're going to try to take as many as we can in this segment of the broadcast. We're going to start with Sally on line 3 from Washington. Sally, you are on the air.
Yes. I believe that we need to have a plan B because the sad situation is we cannot trust our current government. And so we have the president who speaks out on the World Cup and won't speak out on Miriam Ebrahim. And so the UK, they have spoken out with conviction and called this barbaric. And so we need to have a plan B. Her lawyers need to have a plan B in case they fail again because they're no longer trustworthy. Is there a department in this administration that you can trust? Hardly. And so I feel we really need to have a very viable plan B if they're going to fail again because that seems to be their intention.
Certainly understand your point, Sally. In fact, the British government and, believe it or not, the United Nations was so much stronger than the United States in this case in responding forcefully and quickly, even though three American citizens were involved. David, I'll get you to comment on this, but I guess the only maybe point of slight disagreement I would have with Sally is at this moment, the United States has her. So the primary focus here needs to be don't lose her again.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right now, we're the whole ballgame. The UK, the Great Britain, has done an enormous service for her already in bringing this to world attention in a manner that makes our own government, that frankly embarrasses our own government. But right now, she is with her American family in a U.S. embassy. It is our task as a United States of America to bring her home, our task alone.
Right back to the phones we go. We're going to go to line 2. Jay is calling from Indiana. Jay, welcome to the broadcast.
Hey, good afternoon.
You're on the air, Jay.
Yeah.
Hey, Jay, we're having a hard time hearing you. Got a poor connection. We will try to come back to you if we are able to. Let's go to line 6. Jared calling from Washington. Jared, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hello, how are you?
Doing well. You're on the air.
I just got a question, I guess, or a comment about regards to impeachment possibilities. I'm a veteran. Okay, served.
Thank you for your service.
First Airborne, and I believe in pain. You know, freedom is not free. But
Jared, I'm only jumping in because I got a bunch of callers. I take it that you're in favor of impeachment. I'm going to let David repeat what he said earlier in the broadcast. There are political realities, David, dealing with impeachment. I think right now we are probably best focused on the ones that we actually can control. We had two major victories this week. There may be a moment for that, but for right now, let's focus on the issues that we can win.
Right. We have opportunities to rein in the Obama administration short of impeachment. I mean, in the IRS scandal, we have a lawsuit on behalf of 41 groups in 22 states that can go a long way towards accountability. Right now, there's just flat out, there's not going to be impeachment with a Democrat-held Senate. It's just not going to happen. So regardless of whether there is an appropriate legal grounds, which a lot of people I respect are debating, the political reality is it's not going to happen. So let's focus for right now on the things that we can, where we can impact and limit the Obama administration's abuses.
I want to quickly go to Stephen on line 3 from South Carolina. Stephen, I got about 30 seconds left in the broadcast. You're on the air.
Yes, I would like to say that Miriam has been released. She's at the American Embassy due to the fact of all the Christians praying earnestly, and it's an answer to prayer, but it's not over. I would say
amen, Stephen. Only cutting you off because I'm up against a hard break. She is released because of the prayers of the faithful and also because of the actions of all of you calling on our government to do more than they did initially. We have her again. We must not let her go. If you want to stand with us in that demand, call 877-989-2255 or sign online at aclj.org. Folks, in the next two segments of the broadcast, you're going to hear a discussion of Jay with Michael Savage talking about these victories from the Supreme Court this week. Monumental victories for separation of powers and pushing back on executive overreach. You're going to want to stay tuned for that. But if you want to stand with Miriam as we go to a break, call now, 877-989-2255.
What appeared to be a tremendous victory for religious freedom has taken an unexpected turn for the worse. Miriam Ibrahim, imprisoned with her two young children because of her Christian faith, had been released by the Sudanese government, spared torture and the death penalty. But one day later, while she and her family were at the airport, her attorney says she was rearrested and her family taken into custody by Sudanese officials. Miriam and her family's fate are now unclear. At the ACLJ, we've launched a global campaign on Miriam's behalf. Now we must focus on pressuring Sudan to release her and the family and permit them to return to the United States. Time is of the essence. We must apply immediate international pressure to free Miriam and her family. And we must urge the Obama administration to grant Miriam and her American kids safe passage and immediate legal status in the United States. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or you can add your name online, aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the broadcast. Stan Bennett in Washington, D.C. Listen, in just a moment, I'm going to play for you part one of an interview that Jay did yesterday on Michael Savage's radio show, unpacking some of the decisions that came down from the Supreme Court this week. There were, of course, a couple of cases that we were very interested in, and I just want to set the stage on one of them for you very briefly before we jump into this interview. This is the case Noel Canning versus the National Labor Relations Board. It involves those recess appointments that the president made to the National Labor Relations Board, and he made them even though the Senate was not in recess. We represented the Speaker of the United States House of Representatives, John Boehner, in this case. And a lot of folks have been asking us, well, you know, why did you represent the House of Representatives? Because it's the Senate that has a constitutional role to advise and consent. And that is, of course, absolutely accurate. However, Article 1, Section 5 of the Constitution says, and I'm going to read it to you, it says, neither House during the session of the Congress shall, without the consent of the other, adjourn for more than 3 days. So, folks, it's very simple. It's not hard to understand. Only the Senate gets to vote on a president's nominations. However, the Senate cannot go into recess unless the House consents to allow it. So in this case, even though the Senate itself said that they were in session when the president made these appointments, if Harry Reid wanted to go out of session to allow the president to make recess nominations, he could not do it without the consent of the House. That was the role that the Speaker of the House had in mind. It was his jealous interest to preserve the power of the House of Representatives to control that calendaring interest. We drafted the brief on his behalf. We filed it at the Supreme Court, and I honestly think that he was the big winner in this case because the court made it absolutely clear that the Senate cannot go into recess for more than 3 days without the consent of the House, and anything shorter than 3 days is not a sufficient time for the president to make those nominations. We have never argued that a recess nomination is unconstitutional. However, it is only constitutional when the legislative branch says that it is in a recess. That did not happen here. The court got it right by invalidating these nominations. Jay is going to get into this in more detail in this interview. This is going to be part one of the interview. We'll play part two after the break. But this is Jay from yesterday on with Michael Savage.
Look, if you can't have victory, a feeling of victory today with what happened 9-0 in the Supreme Court, you're never going to feel good in the next couple of years. And we should be celebrating. And the man who did it is with us right now, and Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel of the American Center for Law and Justice, represented the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, in this case. He filed a brief on his behalf. This is a major victory for Speaker Boehner and the House itself, because It's a rebuttal of the president's overreach of power, in my opinion. Jay Sekulow, congratulations. And I really mean that, Jay. This is a huge victory, is it not?
It is. And I will tell you, Michael, you said it exactly, Corinne. I appreciate you having me on. This was a real rebuff of the president for a couple of reasons. Not only was it unanimous, but the decision was by Justice Breyer, not exactly a conservative by any stretch of the imagination. And he said, with regard to these recess appointments, the presidential power, that sure, the Constitution says that you have recess of power, because that's specified in the Constitution. But he said not offering the president the authority routinely to avoid the need for Senate confirmation. In other words, it doesn't give him the authority to just, on his own initiative, avoid the constitutional process. So this was a stinging rebuke.
In other words, they were saying to him specifically, yes, sure you have the power of a recess appointment, but not to use it exclusively as a way of getting around Congress, correct?
That's exactly right. In other words, the Constitution specifies recess appointments, but you, Mr. President, don't get to determine when Congress is in recess. That's the job of the Speaker of the House and the Senate Majority Leader under their calendar control, which is specified also constitutionally. So,
Jay, how many cases have you argued before the Supreme Court?
A dozen.
A dozen. So this is would you say this is one of the biggest rebuttals of Obama's power grabs?
I think, I looked at the cases I've argued over the years, and they've been everything from, First Amendment constitutional law cases to statutory cases. When you get to what's called, in the technical sense of the separation of powers, you've talked about this before, the three branches of government, I can't recall a case, maybe back to the FDR and the steel-taking cases and some of those, but since the 1940s, there's never been an opinion that so clearly, crystal clear, said the president overreached here. And I think Justice Breyer actually did a very, very good job of laying out the case.
Okay, so in my opening today, I said we should celebrate, but be careful, because I went back to Andrew Jackson with the Cherokee Nation case, where he said, in paraphrase, now that the Supremes have ruled, let them enforce, in essence.
Right.
And I'm afraid that we might have another such imperial president here. What do you think Obama could do now?
Well, I think the threat that the president has made to use his pen and his phone. This case, although significant, important, a huge victory, as you said, doesn't stop the executive order issue. And I think the president, realizing that he's already lame duck, is going to do everything he can to move executive orders through. And I think that's one of the reasons why Speaker Boehner is saying, it's time to do a direct challenge against the president's authority there, because it violates the constitutional requirements of Article 1, 2, and 3. Having said that, though, you're right to sound the alarm. I'm not resting and saying, this is, done, we're finished with this. I think we've got an imperial presidency here. And when you have an imperial presidency, they're going to operate by dictate. They're going to issue decrees, and that's what the president's going to do next. You can't use recess power. He will try other things.
All right, so, Jay, this was also a huge defeat for the Teamsters Union. They were in favor of these NLRB appointments. Can you tell my listeners of the Savage Nation why they wanted these particular individuals on the NLRB?
Because these were three individuals that not only had pro-union credentials, but would literally deny companies the right to operate in various states that are union-free unless they agreed to a union.
So that's what this was all about.
You remember the whole Boeing controversy when they were going to put some of their operations in South Carolina? That was part of this. So what
Yes.
you have here is 1,000 orders that the NLRB issued when these three were on there are now null and void.
Holy God.
For this, yeah, it's huge. Now, does that mean the president's not going to try other avenues? I think that's the thing you got to look out for here. A vacuum is not a good thing either. So they've been stone silent on it today. It'll be very interesting to see how this plays out.
Again, I want to, alert my listeners to for another time, which is the Worcester versus Georgia case way back when, because Andrew Jackson is the president who said to the Supreme Court, allegedly, Marshall, meaning the Supreme Court justice, has made his decision, now let him enforce it. And so what he was saying was, you don't have the army, I do, and I'll do what I want. And then he did what he wanted, and unfortunately for the Cherokee Nation, shortly thereafter, 45,000 Indians were moved out of their homeland from Georgia to Oklahoma on the Trail of Tears. So there are huge ramifications when a president oversteps his authority, aren't there? I mean, really, Jay, this is a big deal.
Actually, pointing to the Cherokee Nation case is right, because in that particular case, it was argued by the famous Supreme Court lawyer and well-known Daniel Webster. I mean, this is one of the, the leaders in his time. And the president still said, basically, too bad. I think the reality is here, I think the country is not going to just take this stuff anymore, and I think we've reached a tipping point where, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens Monday when they get that decision in the Hobby Lobby case, because that could be another stinging rebuke to the president, overreaching, you know, going after the nuns. I mean, it's you know, some of the stuff that they've decided to do is just nonsensical. But having said that, I'm with you. I am worried that even with these great decisions of the Supreme Court, that the president might view this, hopefully not, but might view these as advisory opinions, not binding. That's the thing that I always get nervous about when any kind of decision like this comes out. Not that he's going to be able to make the recess appointments. It'll be something else.
It'll be something else, because that's the Alinsky method. Continue to overwhelm the system as he's doing with the border, et cetera. But, Jay, before we move on to the next important question here for you to answer, and again, I don't want to lose the victory that you had, and I don't want to lose America's hope that you've given us. As I said at the beginning of tonight's show, there's a ray of sunlight coming through the dark skies that Obama has painted on our rooftop. And I think this is a huge change, not only for the case itself or the case per se, Jay. My opinion is that nothing happens in politics by accident, and that the Supreme Court chose this very time to rule on this case to send a signal to Obama that, A, the buck stops with them. They're not going to be steamrolled the way Congress has been. And number two, they're saying that we'll probably uphold Boehner's moves against you because we've had enough of this imperial presidency. Is that a possibility?
It is, because the way that Justice Breyer, I mean, so clearly articulates, and this is somebody that's probably sympathetic with the administration on policy matters, but not process. I mean, when the president says the clause should be, when the court says the clause, talking about the recess appointment clause, should be interpreted as granting the president the power to make recess appointments during an actual recess, but not offering the president the authority to routinely avoid the need for Senate confirmation, I think that's exactly what you said. The message going back to the White House is, be careful of what you're asking for, because here, nine justices, the most liberal, the most conservative, said you don't get to do this. So I think this is a, this could be a bit of a check. Whether it's checkmate or not, I don't know, but it's a bit of a check on the chessboard here to the administration. How they'll respond to it will be the interesting thing, and I think is the thing we have to keep our eye on the most.
Again, folks, that was part one of Jay's interview from yesterday with Michael Savage. We will play part two after this break, but folks, as we go to a break, if you have not yet signed this petition to stand with Miriam Ebrahim, to stand with the idea of her safe return to the United States with her family, I need you to do it now. This is the most important 48 hours in this case. Now that she is at the U.S. Embassy, we can get her home. She should not leave the sight of the American officials again. Call now 877-989-2255 or sign online at aclj.org.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top two in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
What appeared to be a tremendous victory for religious freedom has taken an unexpected turn for the worse. Miriam Ebrahim, imprisoned with her two young children because of her Christian faith, had been released by the Sudanese government, spared torture and the death penalty. But one day later, while she and her family were at the airport, her attorney says she was rearrested and her family taken into custody by Sudanese officials. Miriam and her family's fate are now unclear. At the ACLJ, we've launched a global campaign on Miriam's behalf. Now we must focus on pressuring Sudan to release her and the family and permit them to return to the United States. Time is of the essence. We must apply immediate international pressure to free Miriam and her family. And we must urge the Obama administration to grant Miriam and her American kids safe passage and immediate legal status in the United States. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the broadcast. Stan Bennett in Washington, D.C. We are going to jump quickly right back into this interview that Jay did with Michael Savage. This will be part two, continuation of the discussion about the cases that came down from the Supreme Court. Again, this is Jay with Michael Savage from yesterday.
The American Center for Law and Justice, the ACLJ, is that not a nonprofit organization?
It is.
And you rely upon donations, don't you, Jay?
Right, from people all over the country.
Well, can you give us a website? Because I want my listeners to really put their money where their heart is and send some money to your organization. I mean, we've got to back those who are fighting for us. Well, how would they do this, Jay?
ACLJ.org. It's that simple. ACLJ.org. And there's a donate button right in the corner of on the homepage. Or they go to Facebook also. But ACLJ.org is the easiest way to go.
So you're the opposition to the Anti-Christian Liberty Union.
Yep.
I know you don't want to get involved in that one. So the ACLJ.org, I think I made a donation a few years ago.
Yeah.
I know I did.
I appreciate that. Yes, we don't forget. We appreciate it.
Well, I'm going to make another one. I really am. I mean, what's money for? What's money for? I don't need to go out and buy 12 watches to give out to friends. I'm not Bill Clinton.
Well, he didn't have any money when he left the White House, remember?
They were broke. I know they were flat broke. They really were.
And Mike, I want to ask you something here, because you've said this, and I think you're right. I'm hopeful. You've got a great audience that people understand. I'm not taking away from the victory either, but this is a victory. Tomorrow, it is the next fight. I mean, you can't just say, oh, we won, it's done. I mean, it's like when this decision came out and we got the victory, it was 9-0. You know what I told our team here? Next case, because that's what we better be working.
Of course, you're fighting a machine that's relentless. I know how leftists work. They have a vendetta against our freedoms, frankly, and our nation itself, in my opinion. You don't have to agree with me. They are on the fast track to steamroll us, to crush this country, and to take over every aspect of government, almost in a manner that's irreversible. That's why they're trying to plant so many left-wingers into so many places. I know they've done it in the Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department, which are lifetime appointments. So even if we get a more rational government after this one, there are operatives that he's planted in there that we're never going to get rid of, Jay.
You know, there is the sense that we have not three branches of government, but four. You've got the legislative, the executive, the judicial, and then the bureaucratic. And you could get to a point with all of the planting of people in these bureaucracies that basically the presidency doesn't matter anymore. And you become just like Europe. And it's, you know, you could have a conservative prime minister of France or Germany, or a conservative or a liberal, it makes no difference because the bureaucracy is running everything. And we are running that risk in our country right now, actually.
Mm. Again, folks, if you really feel as good as I do today, even if it's just a glimmer of hope, ACLJ.org, okay? Send some money. You'll feel good about it. Jay is the real McCoy. Jay, how many years have you been doing this?
35.
Holy God. You've argued 12 cases.
Yeah.
You've been chief counsel for this organization. You've been chief counsel for this organization for 35 years?
No, I was in private practice for years, and then I became chief counsel of the organization almost 25 years ago. So it's been a long time.
Unbelievable. But you sound like you have as much energy as I do, maybe even more than I do, and because you really believe in what you're doing, don't you?
I do. My grandfather came to the United States through Ellis Island to leave persecution, and his grandson gets to argue cases before the Supreme Court of the United States. A pretty good deal.
Mm-hmm. Well, today with Obama, he'll take people over the border who don't speak English and put them on the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
If we're not careful. Without even going to the first grade, he can make them Supreme Court justices like Pol Pot. But let's not get carried away with humor here. Folks, maybe this is too dry for you and boring, and maybe you just want me to talk about something else and tell jokes and play music, and I can do that. This is such a big story. It's so enormous, a 9-0 defeat for Obama. First time in his administration, the man has been rebuked. It's like a nun slapping an unruly child on the wrist and saying enough with the overreach. 9-0? It's not 8-1. It's not 7-2. It's not 6-3. It's not 5-4. The liberals can't fall back and say, oh, those nasty conservatives, if only, you know, blah, blah, blah. This is a Supreme Court which in its entirety said he overreached. He stepped around Congress, and you can't do that. And it was, strangely enough, the lead justice on this, I think, was Elena Kagan, who was as liberal as they come. Joining us again is the man who did it, Jay Sekulow of ACLJ.org. Send a donation. Jay, welcome back to the Savage Nation. Could you put him back up, Neil, so I don't press the wrong button? Jay, welcome back. No, this is a big day. So we have loads of callers with questions and very little time, as you can imagine. Roman on line, I'm sorry, George on line one. George, what's your question for Jay?
Yes, I just wonder if this would be enough to impeach Obama. If not, what would it take? Because we've got 2 years to deal with this guy. He's still got a lot of time. He could do a lot of crazy things.
I don't think so. Jay, what do you say?
Yeah, no, he doesn't reach the level of impeachment. It was a constitutional interpretation. Impeachment has to be high crimes and misdemeanors. And these are statutory interpretations, constitutional interpretations. This is where elections have consequences, but it's not impeachable.
And that's how clever they are. They know how to do things step by step in their march through the institutions. I know that. I have been around leftists, so I had been around them when I was younger. I know how sneaky and how, by the way, how intelligent they can be. So
yep.
This is not. Let's never underestimate the level of intelligence of Barack Obama, Eric Holder, and the Four Horsewomen of the Apocalypse. They're extremely intelligent in their maneuvers. You would agree with that, Jay? Correct?
Yeah. I mean, no, you're absolutely right. These are, you know, some people say they're naive. They're not naive. They're very calculating, very smart. It's just
yes.
A very different worldview of how the government's supposed to operate.
Yes. They're very smart in knowing how to subvert the Constitution, how to take down a nation. Very smart indeed. I only wish they used some of their genius to control the headcutters in the Middle East. That would be real nice if they took some of their vitriol and applied it to that. But that's my problem, not yours. All right, let's go. This is a great question next. Roman on line 9 is calling from Fort Lauderdale on FTL. Roman, go ahead, please.
Thank you so much for taking the call. I just want to tell you I enjoy your show. I listen every day. Question I have is, what happens to the appointments that our bystander-in-chief made with those individuals? Do they?
All right, Roman's asking a key question.
Yeah.
Do the folks who are appointed, who are in place, what happens? Do they get fired? What happens next, Jay?
Appointments were deemed invalid, which means they're not appointed, and the decisions that were rendered by the NLRB, which was almost 1,000 by then, are null and void because they were not a properly constituted board. So their appointments were null and void as if they were never on there. So there never was a quorum. There was never enough people. The NLRB basically didn't function during this period.
So you mean these guys go to work on Monday and there's nothing for them to do?
Yeah, they can't. Their decisions post during this period, they're gone. Now, I don't know if one of them have gotten through on a non-recess appointment, but their position during the time of the litigation, the three of them, everything that they did, they are as if they were never there. So they're...
Holy God. Well, Jay Sekulow, all we can say is thank you very much for fighting for the right things here. It's a true day of victory at the Supreme Court. ACLJ.org, and I especially want liberals listening to send money to an organization that fights for you, not for any specific side of the aisle. Jay Sekulow, thanks again. It's the Savage Nation.
Again, folks, that was Jay on with Michael Savage. Listen, as we close the broadcast today, Miriam Ibrahim, she was released on Monday. She was rearrested on Tuesday at the airport in front of U.S. personnel. She was detained for 2 days while this so-called investigation ensued. Bail was posted for her, folks, and it appears that she is now at the U.S. Embassy in the custody, so to speak, of the United States officials. Now, she can't leave the country because the person who posted bail would assume the charges that are levied against her or that will be levied against her if she does. So we can't just put her on a plane home. However, this is our call to the United States. Do not let her out of your sight again. You are responsible for her protection. If you want to stand with us in that demand, call now 877-989-2255 or sign online at aclj.org, and we'll talk to you next week.
At the ACLJ, we've launched a global campaign on Miriam's behalf. Now we must focus on pressuring Sudan to release her and the family and permit them to return to the United States. We must apply immediate international pressure to free Miriam and her family. And we must urge the Obama administration to grant Miriam and her American kids safe passage and immediate legal status in the United States. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or you can add your name online, aclj.org.